The common idea, I think, in our society is not atheism, even though the media might tend to make you think that way. I think the most common practice, if you like, the religious practice of most people in this country is to make up their own idea about God. If you talk to people, they often have some interesting ideas about what they believe God is like. They're not often they're not simply that he doesn't exist, but they kind of make up their own picture of what they believe God is like. And often it's a God that would actually approves of their particular way of life. So it's a bit hard sometimes talking to people. On Thursday of this last week, I had a conversation at a business meeting with two people, a lady who started the conversation by saying, "I'm an atheist." And the gentleman who was with us, he was into this, what's called, I think it's called Reiki. And he was talking about vibrations, about things vibrating and really rather strange ideas. I must admit, after he left, the lady said that was a lot of mumbo jumbo. That was her comments on his particular. But she listened very interested. In fact, they both did, as I explained to them my understanding of what God is like as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Because if you think about it, if God is God, he must be much, much, much bigger than us. In order for us, him to create us, he must be much greater. And in fact, we understand that he's infinitely greater than us. And he's not just infinitely greater in size or in time or anything like that, but he's also qualitatively greater than us, meaning that he must be much, much more, I don't know what word you use, more complex, more sophisticated, more multifaceted than we are. And so we are utterly dependent on how he reveals himself to us. We can't work out with pencil and paper, as we used to in our maths book, what God is like. We need him to reveal himself to us. And that's, of course, exactly what we believe as Christians, that he did, particularly in the person of Jesus Christ, that he came himself to say to us, "This is what I'm like. This is who I am," in a way that we can all appreciate. Now, the other religions of the world have their own revelation from God. So the Jews really believe that God, as we do, that God revealed himself through their history, through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Aaron and so on down through the ages. There's a whole series of prophets that we read about in the Old Testament, and God revealed more and more about himself down through the ages. But the Jews basically believe that God gave up revealing himself to us 400 years before Jesus, with the last of the prophets. You know, you've got what they call the minor prophets that appear at the end of the Old Testament. And those are, if you like, God's last word to the human race, according to Jewish people. The Muslims believe that Muhammad came, I think it's around 700 AD, didn't he? And that he brought a lot of revelation about what God is like. And Muslims basically believe what Muhammad wrote down and what was recorded in the Quran. So these different views about God all come from revelation. The question I think we need to ask ourselves is that as we look at these different revelations, we have to ask to ourselves which one makes most sense, which one actually chimes with the way we understand the life that we lead, which ones actually are consistent, which revelation is consistent and actually makes sense with the way we experience life as human beings. And I'm sure I've mentioned to you, to my mind, the most key thing about the Christian revelation is that it's centered on love. Because if you ask the people in the world, what is the most important thing in life? Most of them will say something like love or family or relationships. Most people realize that actually the relationships that we have with each other are actually the mainspring of most of our lives. Now, not everyone, but for the vast majority of human beings, the relationships that we have with those who are close to us, that's the most important thing in our lives. And as the Christian faith is so firmly based on our understanding that God loves us, in the same kind of way that we love each other, that to me is if you like, is the tick that we can put to the revelation that we have of God in Jesus. It's to do with the fact that he loves us. And of course, when we come to Trinity Sunday, the tradition is that the preacher stands up here and tries to come up with some kind of explanation for our understanding of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we worship one God who somehow makes himself known to us as three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I expect over the years you've heard many different explanations about water and steam and ice and the egg, the yolk, the shell, and the white. I don't think they quite work though. If God is real and he is three persons, it must be something rather more, if you like, sophisticated than just thinking of him as ice and water and steam. And so, but it's very clear as you go through the Bible that this understanding of God is what he wants us to understand. The two readings that we had today, one from the book of Romans, is Paul writing, we see all three persons of the Trinity in that passage. And again, of course, in the passage that I read from John's Gospel, where Jesus talks about the Father and he talks about the Holy Spirit. And of course, he's talking about himself as well. He's giving us some more insight into the relationship between our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And last week, we looked at a passage from the next chapter of John's Gospel, what we call the great high priestly prayer, the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father, just before he was arrested. And I mentioned there, I think, the last verse or the last couple of verses of that great prayer that Jesus prayed, in some ways, is the most important verse in the Bible. And again, we find all three persons of the Trinity. Jesus prayed there, "Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." That's how Jesus finishes his great prayer to the Father, praying for us very specifically, for those who will believe through the disciples' work. He's telling us there, it's about revelation. He's saying that his job on earth has been to reveal the nature of God. He talks about making the Father's name known. But in that culture, the name of someone actually signified the person themselves. So Jesus said, I have made your name known. He's saying, I came to earth to make you known to the people of earth through myself. But he then, interestingly, says, and I will make it known to them. He's talking there about his future, about our present. He's saying there that his work of revelation of the Father, revelation of what God is like, did not stop when he died on the cross, did not even stop at the resurrection, and did not stop when he went back to heaven, but that he's still working in us and through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the nature of God to us. That it's still an ongoing process that we can know more and more about God, not just through the pages of the Bible, but by a direct experience of the Holy Spirit working through us. Jesus says there, I will make the Father's name known to them. And that's an ongoing thing. And he also then says, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. He says that the love between the Father and the Son, that kind of is the mainspring of the universe, is what's going to be in us if we're willing to receive it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that the love with which you have loved me, the love of the Father for the Son, is in us. Jesus reveals God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he puts this relationship, the Father-Son relationship, at the heart of it, to help us to realize how key this aspect of love is for us. He uses this parental relationship that we've all experienced in one way or another to help us to realize how strong and how deep and how profound is the love at the heart of the Godhead. And I believe he's actually telling us that God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because he's not, when he talks about love, he's not talking about self-love. Self-love isn't really love at all. If you love yourself, it's not quite the same as loving someone else, is it? So that's why God is Father and Son. And in that relationship between the two, we can actually see that the centrality of what it means to be in love. And I think, too, that the Holy Spirit is almost like the glue that holds Father and Son together. The Holy Spirit is, if you like, the relationship between Father and Son, the loving relationship. And that love is so strong that it's actually a person. It goes beyond just an emotion, just a feeling, but something that really binds them together. And it's the Holy Spirit that pours God's love into us and binds us to him, helps us to realize how much God loves us, how important that is to him, and that we respond to his love by loving him back. And of course, Jesus went on to say the great commandments, didn't he? The first and greatest commandment was that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind, and that we should love each other as we love ourselves. He put right at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is this great gift of love that he gives us, which flows directly from his own person. And we see that in the love between the Father and the Son that Jesus mentioned in this passage in John chapter 17. So hopefully, giving you my take on why the Trinity actually works as an idea, as a concept. It's not just that something that we've managed to work out by careful philosophizing. Is that a real word? It could be. You know what I mean, anyway. It's not something that we've worked out. It's something that's been revealed to us. But as we look at it, as we examine it, we realize it really does make sense. And it really does chime with our experience as human beings. Everything fits together in my estimation. I think I've been a Christian, as I mentioned, since I was 35, and I've gone on studying all that time since then. And it just makes more and more sense as time goes on. That's really, I think, really important. So can I ask you to think about next week? We're going to ask everyone to bring someone along to church. Can you think about those around you? Perhaps someone who has their own particular understanding of God that they've worked out, but but really needs to think perhaps a little differently, to realize that it's not a matter of what we think God ought to be like. It's a matter of how God has revealed himself to us, and how we respond to that revelation. Can I ask you too to pray and to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you, to actually enable you to speak to your friends and neighbours and to help them to realise that the opportunities that there are in responding to God's love far outweigh whatever they may think of the disadvantages of being a Christian. So please do have a real prayer this week. And ask who you might bring along next Sunday morning. But particularly also, just reflect on how much God loves us and how he has revealed himself as the three persons of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and how much that says to us about his love for each one of us. Amen.